walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold.
A mansion there's awaiting me, soon as beauty I will see
in that city where we never shall grow. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory. Won't you come?
Hallelujah! Jesus is coming back. You get to read your word, you'll find out it's written in there. Today, before I get into the message, I want to talk a bit about what's going on in this topsy-turvy world. And I want to call out some of those mega-preachers who have been preaching the gospel over the last 20 years, and I've always wondered why they did not seem to address issues that are important to God's heart, like abortion. When we look at what's going on in the world today, it is unbelievable. the chaos, the confusion. Many Christians have no idea what's going on because they haven't been paying attention. And we need to pay attention because God wants us not to have our whole heads in the sand. He wants us to look up and see and watch what's going on. Ignorance is not bliss if it's going to destroy you. So what is happening? All this election that we're seeing, what's it about? What is Trump about? It's about abortion. It's about all the millions of children that have been destroyed in the womb. And all the babies that are being sold for parts and are being pedophiled and all that stuff. This is what this election is all about. And we need to pay attention to it. I was listening to Pat Robinson here about a few weeks ago. He was telling Mr. Trump to ride off into the sunset. He had his 4 years. Now let's just forget about it. And I was thinking, Pat Robinson, don't you see the fraud? Don't you know what this is all about? And then a couple of days later, he came back and said, I was with God, I prayed. And God showed me that this thing is going to be turned around miraculously. I don't know how. I don't even care what you think of me, but this is what God showed me. So we, I believe, can expect to see this thing turn around. 48.5 million babies aborted in 2020 all over the world. Do we think that God is just going to stand silently by as this goes on? I remember when the Berlin Wall came down, I was riding along with a Muslim friend of mine. He was a salesman. I was working in the hog barn industry in those days. And we were coming from lunch, and he was telling me how incredibly joyful he was that now the wars are over. We'll finally have peace. And I remember telling him, there's not going to be any peace while babies are going to be slaughtered all over the world. God is not going to stand for it. So this is what we are fighting now. It's the one world government trying to encroach in on the world to bring it into subjection so that this Baal worship can continue, the sacrificing of babies to Satan. And God is going to stop it. He is going to bring justice and judgment to those who are pushing it. The Chinese have been killing their babies for the last 50 to 60 years. A family has only allowed one child or two children. Now it's two children, two babies already, but it used to be one until it became very evident that there's way more male children than women. So now they have to correct themselves. So what is this going? Where is this going to stop? God will stop it, one way or another. I hope it's very soon. According to the prophets, it is very soon. But we know God's timetables sometimes are not our timetables. We'll just have to wait for Him to do it. I was listening and was watching Franklin Graham coming online and telling us to pray for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for a smooth transition into the next presidency. And I was thinking, Mr. Franklin Graham, do you not have a clue what's going on in this world? Did you not see the fraud? It's not about them having a smooth transition. There's never going to be peace. I don't care how much you pray for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. There's never going to be peace while their agenda is for killing babies. So get off that idea and start asking God to remove them. Then you'll be doing something. Because you, Franklin Graham, saw the fraud. You saw it with your open eyes. Is that why there is no word out of those MAGA preachers about the slaughter of babies? Because they have no discerning spirit? Is that why this world has come to this? If they can't see the fraud, if they endorse Joe Biden, then you can see that their spirits are not where they're supposed to be. They have no clue what God wants and what God has in store. So it is very disappointing to me to see God exposing these giant so-called God's people. They have no clue what's going on. Oh yes, we'll wait for the next time we're going to vote, and then we'll make sure that the Republicans win by watching. Yes, you will, like you watch now. They're going to cheat. There's not going to be any more Republican Party because they proved themselves on Wednesday, this Wednesday, January the 6th. There is no Republican Party. They're all one. They all serve Satan, and they proved it. Only six of them, of the whole bunch, survived the test that God put them to. And this is what we're seeing with our open eyes, and we're praying for a smooth transition. No, we're praying for God to step in and shut this whole thing down. That's what we're praying for. And we want to make sure that we decree this and ask God to intercede for us. Because if we don't, if God doesn't stop it, He is going to bring judgment on North America like North America or the rest of the world has never ever seen before. But by the grace of God, God still sees the Abrahams who are praying and interceding and coming against. And for their sake, He's going to push this back and shut it down. Hallelujah. So God is not mocked. This sowing of corruption is going to be brought to justice. Hallelujah. Can you give me an end on the other side of this camera? God is a good God. Now on to my message. Hallelujah. This was my introduction. The question is, who are the elect of God? It is the church of God. The one who keeps back the evil. The one who's going to be removed before the great tribulation. The elect of God. Romans chapter 8 in verse 33. Listen to this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The question is, look at yourself. Are you God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I want you to pay, you elect of God, I want you to pay close attention. He is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Later on in this message, you will see how important that is. He is making intercessions for us. Are you God's elect? I know I'm God's elect. How do I know? The power of the Holy Spirit has entered into me, and when it happened, I've never been the same again. My heart changed. My life changed. My attitudes changed. I knew in myself I wasn't what I was before. I was not this goody-two-shoes that you may have envisioned by now. I just knew in my heart I was something different. And it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You're elected by God. You're God's chosen. because you made the choice for him. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Who does the choosing? You yourself makes the choice. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it also in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. There's that word, through the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. So how sure are you that you're an elect of God? If it doesn't line up with what Scripture says, then you got a problem. It says it came with power. It came with the Holy Ghost. And it brought what? Much assurance. Since you became born again by the Spirit of God, how sure are you of your salvation? How sure are you that you are an elect of God? Did the power of God come into your spirit? Did you feel it? Did you notice it? Did you realize something has happened to you? It came by the Holy Ghost, and it brought much assurance. I know it happened to me. This is why I can preach this way. I know where I stand, and I know what I got. I am confident that I have this incredible God on the inside of me, and it gives me passion to reach the lost. I know where I'm going, and I want everyone to be there. Hell is an incredibly horrible place. It's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. You do not want to go there because there's going to be hopelessness and agony for the rest of eternity. Now let me turn your attention to Simon Peter when Jesus had communion with his disciples just before the crucifixion. And he was telling them that he was going to his death. And Simon Peter, the big mouth, said, "Oh Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. I will even go unto death with you." And here is what Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 says. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." If you think you can stand against Satan without God, you're mistaken. You need Jesus every time, everywhere, and all the time. It says, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But here's the catch. "But I have prayed for thee. I have interceded for thee." Remember, Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God, ever making intercessions for us. For what? For this, that thy faith fail not. That's where we stand. That's how we stand, by the prayers and intercessions of Jesus, that we will not fall or fail. It's not in our strength, it's in his strength, giving us the power. "And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." And that's what we want to do. What is the difference between Judas Iscariot and Mr. Simon Peter? It's very simple. Jesus prayed for Simon Peter. He didn't pray for Judas Iscariot. He didn't intercede for Judas Iscariot. And that's why Judas went and hung himself, even though they basically did the same sin. Simon repented because of the grace of God, because of the intercession of God. So this is what we have as our anchor. When I say I know I'm going to heaven, when I say I'm once saved and always saved, I do not depend on my own strength. I depend on the strength of the blood of Jesus and him interceding for me. A child can understand that. And some of you out there on the other side of this camera, you just can't seem to get it. Get it into your spirit. Trust in Jesus. Trust the Word of God. And he, once he sees your trust, once he sees your faith, the revelation will come. It is that simple. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God doesn't lie. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new." Too many times we hear of people, oh, what we did. We can't forgive ourselves. Their past is tormenting them. You can see it sometimes on Facebook when you read between the lines, when they share things, that they have a tormenting past. If you're born again, forget about your past. Bring it to Jesus. Humble yourself. Bring it to Jesus. And He'll take care of it. And then it says, you are a new creation in Christ. If you are a new creation, why does your past worry you? You become new, what? Every morning, you become newer, better and better. As you get in closer to the kingdom, you improve on a daily basis. This is why I say, when somebody asks me, how are you today? I usually tell them, better than yesterday. Not that anything was wrong yesterday. It's just that I'm one day closer to the Lord and I am improving. Hallelujah. And who is doing the improving? The power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to bring you to one more scripture in closing out in 1 John 5 in verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God has to witness in himself. Do you have to witness in here? Do you communicate with God? Do you have a personal relationship? If you don't, there's something wrong. He that has the Son of God has to witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you do not believe in Jesus, then you make God a liar, because you don't believe that He can set you free. And if you're a Christian and you don't have assurance of salvation, you kind of fall into that category also. You make God a liar. He has given you eternal life already, and you should rejoice in it instead of worrying whether you're going to make it. Look at Scripture. You make God a liar. The life that you have is in His Son if you have accepted Him as your Savior. And you need to believe that. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. It's as simple as that. Have you got the Son of God? Then you have life. How long? For eternity. That's where it starts, your eternal life, when you accept Jesus. When you become a new creation, when you're seated in heavenly places, when you're sealed unto the day of redemption, that's when you have eternal life. That's where it starts. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Listen to this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That word know is not hope. Maybe, if, or but. It is know, that you may know inside you that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. This is what God is trying to hammer into our brains. He wants us to know that life is serious. We're here to make a choice. It's not just to be wasted and have a good time on this earth. This earth is not our home. We're out of here shortly. We got to make sure we got this Jesus in our hearts. That's why we're here, to make a decision where we're going to spend eternity. So I'm asking you, have you made that decision? Are you sure in your heart that you belong to God? If there's somebody listening to this message over the internet and you're not born again, you need to understand your life can be over tomorrow. Or what if you live another 30, 40 years? Don't matter. It's over in a blink of an eye. I'm basically 70 years old, and it seems like a yesterday. It goes fast. And I became born again when I was at least 27 years old. The first 27 years of my life were basically a waste. Then God got my attention. And how fast did those 40, 50 years go? It was over just like that. I'm going home soon, whether it's the rapture or whether it's in a coffin, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going home. And one of these days, it will happen as sure as I'm sitting here. And when that happens, glory begins for me. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor can your mind comprehend what God has in store for me. Look, this is where my destination is. This is where I'm going. For me, the future is bright. But for you who don't know this Jesus, there is going to be an eternal lake of fire. Agony, no purpose for the rest of eternity. How can you even imagine that in your brain? I can't. So you need to turn to that salvation. Jesus came to save that which is lost. And we were all lost once upon a time. It was brought on by Adam in the Garden of Eden, where we were separated from God. The sin of death, or the sting of death, is in all of us. But God, through the power of the blood of Jesus, removed that sting of death by nailing the laws that were against us to the tree. Now he declares us not guilty. If you cannot accept that, I have no other help for you. That's the only help I can offer, but that's the only help you need. So turn to him. Never mind your past. Never mind where you are now. I don't care what religion you're in. Turn to Jesus and let him take care of the rest. And he will never, ever forsake you, leave you, nor disappoint you. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.